Good evening. Good evening.
Hello.
What up, peoples? So,
Finally feeling like fall. It only took half the month.
man. I know it's like, when it's when we have to actually kick the heater on to make sure the pipes don't get so cold that they freeze.
Exactly.
That's rough. Yeah, it was a
Especially in
little
the
chilly last
stores.
night. Oh, yeah. Well, even last night it was pretty freaking cold in the store or in the house last night. Like my wife turned the heater on, and that never happens. Because she always runs super hot, and me and the dogs are like freezing cold. So we got some stuff going on. So tonight, immediately following this, you guys could hop over to our Whatnot channel. Just look for New Dimension Comics, all one big word. I'm going to be doing a Whatnot sale right from over there. Right over there. Some cool signed books that Justin and I have pulled out of the signed box. They're $1 starts. It's going to be kind of cool. We have some local guys in there that that we're going to do. We have some Ron Friend stuff, some Pat Olive stuff, some Jim Rugg, Wade Foucher, a couple other guys. It's going to be cool. Some cool stuff if you're looking for some cheap signed books. It's gonna be cool. Not cheap. I shouldn't say cheap, but some signed books, raw signed books on the not on the cheap. What's the word I'm looking for here? At a good price. Right, a good, yeah.
At a
There you go.
discount.
Yeah. We're that's not gonna break the bank because they're not graded. But
Yeah.
since both grading services now do signature verification, you can send both of them to stuff and you'll be fine. So all right. Anyway, this Saturday I will be over at K&J over in Westview to do a joint dollar book sale with the guys at K&J. Me and Julie are going to be hanging out in the corner by their store. They have there's a separate storefront down there that we have a big selection at. Come down there and hang out with us. It's going to be a good time. Dollar books all day. Or if you want to head up to the warehouse where it's going to be much colder, every Saturday till the end of the year, we got stuff going on in the warehouse. Tons and tons of or tons and tons of books for 50 cents a piece. Not this weekend, but next weekend we have Jim Rugg, Don Simpson, and Robert Hack. They're going to be doing a signing up there from 4 to 5 p.m. that day. And then on the 14th of December, we're going to have a couple vendors setting up as well. So you're going to be able to shop a couple local comic and toy vendors there throughout that whole thing. And it's free admission, so just come and hang out. Shop some vendors and shop a whole bunch of dollar books for 50 cents. So it'll be kind of cool. Super low key, kind of chill. A couple weeks before Christmas, get those last minute gifts. Or if you already have everything else already done before Christmas, you can just go up there and buy some stuff for yourself.
Yes.
Self-care is a thing, guys. It is a thing.
Best of
So
all, tariff proof.
yeah.
Tariff
So
proof.
after that, we got Black Friday coming up. Spend $50, get pre-tax on qualifying purchase, get 20% off. Check your local store for what qualifies in there. Dollar books do not count because starting Black Friday till the end of the calendar year, all the in-store dollar book stocks will be half price, which is awesome. We do that every year to make room for some of the stuff to be filtered out, to make room for new stuff. It's a great deal. Come check that out. In December, we have Sandy Fox and Lex Lang coming to the waterfront. Sandy is the current speaking voice of Betty Boop. She also does a bunch of other voices, including some Sailor Moon stuff. She is a Monroeville native. She's awesome. And Lex, her husband, is the voice of the main big bad on Genju Kaisen. So if you have a action figure or a pop vinyl and you want to get it signed, bring it in. He was also Dr. Doom on Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes cartoon, which is where I knew him from. If not Crash Bandicoot, because
He
he
was
was
very
the
he was a good Doom voice. He
he was he was he was a
they had that.
Batman. Like, he was a lot of stuff. He was a lot of Digimon.
Yeah,
So
he's done a lot, so.
yeah, dude, like, look him up. Like, his IMDb is crazy huge. But they're great people to hang out with, and I just love hanging out with them. Like, Sandy is such a nice person, and Lex is super cool. I love having them around. I guess we could talk a little bit of news. So we were talking right before we got on about some of the trailers that dropped. I haven't seen full trailers, but I did see chunks of the Captain America one, mostly because I saw the Red Hulk stuff. And man, does he look good.
The CGI, they did well with that CGI. They did not scar him. He was he looked good. It was
Yeah,
not
he
a
looks like Harrison Ford, which is great.
They even had like the gray on his. You can see some of the gray in his hair and everything. I like the new suit. They did show more of his new suit. And you get a little bit more of the plot and where it's going, which was pretty cool. It's got to do a lot with the Isaac, the first African American Cap America. And he's involved in this. He's,
Isaac Washington, yeah.
yeah,
Isaiah
he
Washington.
is it
Isaiah.
Isaiah? I thought it was
Yeah.
Isaac. Okay,
Or
but
it might be Isaac. Isaiah might be his grandson, who is Patriot. That might be what I'm saying. Anyway, continue on. My bad.
his involvement is like, from what the trailer showed, is he's an assassin. He tries to assassinate Harrison Ford.
Ooh.
But it's all like brainwashing by the leader. So it's. You get a little bit more of how the plot's going to go. I'm here for it. It looks really good. It looked like they actually took their time. The reshoots looked like they're worth it. So this might be the second straight Marvel movie that is worth going to see in the theaters and do well. So,
Marvel's
but
back, baby. Marvel's
yeah.
back.
And then they did do a more a longer trailer for the Thunderbolts. A lot of humor, a lot of where they meet up and how they started fighting with each other and everything was pretty cool. And you did find the Red Guardian comes up with the name the Thunderbolts. Because it's at the very end of the trailer, and he's like, he yells, "Thunderbolts!" And everybody looks at him like, "No." And he's like, "It's a cool name."
Wow.
it might be a really good movie. I'm still teetering on that one a little bit, just because Black Widow was not really good, in my
I agree.
opinion, and. I'm not blaming the actors, that wasn't the issue, but it's hard to get out of that mindset once you see them in one bad movie and you're like, I was like, can they do this? We'll see. We'll see. It's
Yeah. I agree. I mean, it was definitely a very interesting take. But I agree. I really I love the Thunderbolts lineup. I like the lineup they chose for the movie as well. Like, I love the original comic lineup. I'm in for it. I just hope it's not too humor. Like, I
Well,
don't want it to
I
be
think
like
Red Guardian's
Guardians
good.
humor. Like, if it's Guardians 3 amount of humor, I'm cool. If it's Guardians 1 or 2 amount of humor, 1 maybe tolerable. 2, no. 2 was like way over the top.
I think it's going to be a lot of the Red Guardian being the comedic relief in the entire movie. Which he was in Black Widow, and the way they wrote this character, he is goofy. So it's, you know, I have no issue with that. And it's by far not bad. It's just, if that's the where all the humor comes from, I'm cool with that. 'Cause that's kind of like what Batista did with Drax, you know. And that turned out well. I'm not gonna complain on that end. But if everybody else is super serious, I'm cool with that too. Which it looks like it is going to be a serious movie. Just to, you know, Marvel has to put a little humor in it because it is for kids.
Sort of.
Kids,
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, they want it to cross platform. And they don't want it to be a hard R. They want it to be like PG, PG-13. They want it to they want comics to they want it to be you should go read the comics. And a lot of the comics are multi-generational. So, yeah, I
Although
get it. I
I
get it.
think they did miss a thing is I would like to see I would have liked to have seen Zemo in this. I figure Baron Zemo should be in the Thunderbolts. And
I agree.
I think that's a miss on their part.
Well, he
But
might still be. We don't know.
that's true. That's
You
true.
know? So, cool. Other than that, I don't know that there was much other stuff. Oh, the new Dune miniseries starts this week.
Yeah.
Prophecy. So make sure you guys check that out. I'm very excited about that. I was this close to canceling my HBO Max, and then I was like, Dune Prophecy. Because I was like, man, I haven't watched anything on here in a long time. And I still haven't watched Penguin. And then I remembered I have to watch Penguin too. So I gotta watch that, and then I gotta watch Dune
I was going to
Prophecy.
say,
So
I know they just released the final part three of the Crisis on Infinite Earths, too, on the
yeah, I haven't
AMC.
watched a lot of the like DC animated in a long time.
I watched all three parts, and I'm going to be fair. It's not their best work, but it's by far not garbage.
I
So.
don't think I've watched a DC animated movie since like, holy shit, like Supergirl Apocalypse. Like, it's been that long. Like,
Wow, that's
back
been
when
a
they were
few
still
years.
releasing them on DVD, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's how long it's been. So,
Jeez.
yeah.
You missed quite a few then.
Oh,
They did, but speaking of streaming, the Deadpool Wolverine streamed. So it's number one across the board on streaming. Talk to the guys at the store, like Scott. He's like, "Oh, that was the first time I've seen it." He's like, "That was really good." And Mads was like happy because they got to see it, and they're like, it was really good. It's like really fan base, you know. So it's definitely, you know, pick that back up. We got to have some smiles going here after last week. So, you know, the good timing of, you know, making us laugh and chuckle. I rewatched it myself, and the
I'll probably get to it maybe Saturday night after I'm done at Julie's. Yeah,
It still
I
gets
haven't
me
seen it. Or I
him
saw it in the
playing with it.
theater.
Yeah.
I still think it's the Wolverine that we all deserved.
Yes.
And that's why I loved it so much. So,
Still
all right.
the in sync is just that intro.
It
You can't beat that intro.
was pretty freaking hilarious.
It
So,
was epically funny, and I don't think Marvel's going to top that. I
well,
really don't. It would have to take something insane. Insane.
we're gonna find out. They got a lot of stuff coming down the pike. We'll see. So, all right, let's get to some comics.
Here we go. Absolute Batman number two. Pretty much leaves off where number one kind of leaves off. It's Alfred is doing his monologuing as Batman is battling the party animal gang, and he's giving him compliments on how he uses the terrain to fight, even if he's outgunned, outmanned, whatever. He's like, he always turns the situation around. And you're seeing this throughout the panel. It's like, you think he's done, but he's not. And he turns all these little situations around. Like he was surrounded by a bunch of party animals, and there were, I think there was like water, like they were in a around a riverbed or something, and he throws a tablet of concentrated hydrochloric acid into the water, and they were all the party animals started like screaming and yelling because they were all wet anyway, so this made it even worse. And you find out that Batman doesn't have a bat cave. He has various cities and or various buildings that were built by corporations that he worked for in construction that were never used. They're not used. They're just built. They look pretty, but nobody uses them. So he uses them as his bases. And he has them throughout Gotham. And they even do like a satellite overview of Gotham. And there's little lights where all his bases are, and it makes the symbol of the bat. He's and Alfred's like, well, at least he's consistent with the bat, yeah, theme. You flash forward and you see Jim in the laid up in the hospital after being shot with his daughter and Bullock, and they're talking about how they should deal with Batman. Is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? You know, this, that, and the other. And of course, you know, his daughter's like, well, he's got to be a good guy because he rescued us. And then Bullock's like, well, he could just be playing this and trying to trick us and this, that, and the other. And they get called away on a call. Leaving Jim in the hospital by himself, and he hears a knock at the door, and lo and behold, there's Martha Wayne. And it turns out that she and Jim are really good friends, which again, something completely different than original Batman, because Martha's passed on. She never met Jim Gordon, like never. So
Yeah.
it this is another little drop in the bucket there. And then they flash back to when Bruce, he found Bruce covered in bats because of all the blood from his dad getting shot through the door and the zoo incident, and the bats were all over him, and that's when Jim found him. Because apparently Bruce screamed, and Jim, and then it kind of flashes forward with all like you see the Riddler, you see the Penguin, you see Croc. They're playing cards, they're playing poker. And look who comes in, there's Bruce. And they're like, lo and behold, they're, you know, giving him a hard time and showing up and this, that, and the other. And they're sitting there, they're playing cards, and they were like, well, Bruce, what are you ante in here? Do you have any money? This, that, and the other. He whips out a party animal's helmet, which is like you could see like the circuitry. It's a very advanced circuitry and everything. And of course, Riddler is like all giddy because, you know, ooh, fun, a new puzzle to, you know, figure out. You know, the Penguin, he's asking Penguin, you know, hey, are you involved in this or have you heard anything? And from what they're saying is the party animals are just destroying things. They're not trying to take over anything. They're not laying claim to anything. It's just destruction throughout all of Gotham. And it, the poker game ends with Bruce winning with three aces. then you flash for it a little more. And there's Bruce as Batman, trying to find out more about what the party animals are after, what's going on. And he starts investigating Candidate Hill, who's running against Jim Gordon for mayor. And as he does this, he finds a file marked Arc M. And as he tries to read that, up pops up on the computer screen the party animal leader. And he's like, Peekaboo. And he's like, I like you, so I'm going to give you a fighting chance. And he does, he kind of, it's kind of reminds me very Joker-esque, where he's putting him in a dangerous situation, but he's being very jovial about it and cheery. And it's very, very weird. But as he does it, one of the henchmen kick open the door with a bazooka, shoots it at him, and of course Batman goes down like a laundry chute. And as he's trying to escape, Alfred intercepts him and offers to help because they have the common entity of the party animals. And he's like, do you have any way? He's like, come to my car unless you have one, you know. And Bruce's response is, have one, you're in one. And at the very end of the book, you see this gigundous tank dumpster truck
Yeah,
type of
I saw it.
thing, armor. So that is the new Batmobile. And that's the way the book ends. This was really good. This was as good as the first one. I love the little differences, but I like how everything is intersecting, you know, like Jim being friends with Martha, and there's more of a political thing going on here. I'm all for it. Give me a full, give me a full old school Eaton Park buffet, breakfast buffet.
A
This is
full buffet.
full buffet, give me all of
Wow. Well, I mean, that
that.
Batmobile is the size of the buffet, so
Buffet, so yeah, kind of fits.
yeah, it
But
was huge. I was like, how did he afford that if he's not a millionaire? Like, that's my only
I
question.
think he
Like,
stole,
and
I
where does
think
he
he,
store that shit? Like, it's
well, then
huge. It's
he,
like 3 stories high. It's ginormous.
I think it was like because he worked in construction, has all these other jobs, he just kind of hoarded it and just
Okay.
kind of. That's my explanation. I'm sure there'll be further explanation in the like so far, but
Right.
again, another home run by Scott
Scott
Snyder.
Snyder.
Yeah, this is
All
just
right.
awesome.
All right. My next book is Green Lantern 17. So this book is just amazeballs. So the Unseen have used a Yellow Lantern Kilowog to trap Jessica Cruz. They're trying to interrogate her to find out where the Green Lanterns are. The core that Hal is using all have new Green Lantern rings forged from a lantern from Earth. Theros is using the Dark Star ring to basically try to take over the world or the universe. And he's using it to project himself. Alan Scott and the Green Lanterns are trying to fend off of that. And then there's Hal and John who are running from Mogo, who at this point is the giant Red Lantern planet. So everybody knows Mogo as a Green Lantern planet. Right now, he's pissed off. So he's a giant Red Lantern planet. So they haul ass, get past everything, blow up a star cruiser filled with innocent people, head back toward the Green Lantern the rest of the Green Lantern Corps, and all of a sudden, in the background, you see this red streak coming at them, and they're like, "What the hell is that?" And Hal just goes, "That's Sinestro." So here comes Sinestro, more pissed off than I've ever seen him in any other book ever. Comes crashing into Mogo, slams so hard into him that he absorbs all of the red energy from him into himself, smiles at Hal Jordan, flies away, or fall, sorry, falls. Hal catches him. Mogo turns back to green. Kyle Rayner understands that the Spectrum is having like basically a meltdown, and he needs to save it. So he being on Mogo at this point with the Green Lanterns, tries to fly to where Theros is, and tries to fly into him, slams into this force field that he has, falls to the ground, and just gets back up as a White Lantern, and just says Kyle Rayner lives. It is probably one of the most badass issues that I've read of this in a long time. Like the scene, just the scene of Sinestro just punching into Mogo, like at like a million miles an hour and slamming into a planet, and like that giant hole that he makes to then just absorb all the red energy. Just, oh my God, I'm getting chills just thinking about it. It's so good. Oh my God. Okay, so I'm gonna give this. Okay, I'm gonna give this. You ever see those, like you're watching like a comedy, and like they go to a place for breakfast and they order pancakes, or they order flapjacks, and they get like a giant plate and there's like 30 of them on it. That's it. That's what I want. I want this 30 flapjack plate
Oh
dripping with like a full bottle of syrup with like
my.
strawberries and berries all over the sucker, and a whole pot of
You're
coffee
talking
to go
about the
with it.
Uncle Buck pancake
Yeah,
scene.
buddy. Oh yeah. Yeah, that's what I want. I want that whole thing
Well,
because that's
the
how
little
awesome
Macaulay
this
Culkin
was.
just kind of looking at it like.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I feel like this arc, I think, only has like one or two issues left in it, and it has been amazing. Adams has really been crushing this Green Lantern run. Like, he really is in touch with Hal and the Corps. He really knows how to write stuff. Like he knows how to write them well, and he really knows how to write them correctly. And how to balance each character so that they're not overstepping each other, and to give them each their own voice in the right way, to really do the Green Lanterns justice. I really love this book. I can't recommend it more. If you're not reading this run of Green Lantern, you should be. So go check it out.
All right, we got Violator number three. And this takes place in the middle of the Black Death, if you can't tell by the cover there. The Spawn in this one are plague doctors. So he's Violator is, kind of hiding in, plain sight in humanity. As like kind of like a rich guy, and of course he's healthy and everything, which is really weird considering that the plague's going on all around him. He gets surrounded by a bunch of plague doctor spawns, which for him is pretty easy. Like he's just kind of, kicking their butts, but not only are they here, you get your first look at the Seraphim. And they came to stop the spawn. and a violator. And one of the seraphim happens to be Gloria Nana. Is it Gloria Nana? Yeah, I think that's the pronunciation for it. His soulmate from the first book. So she's still kicking. And an all-out battle pretty much just ensues. He loses his skin suit, he calls it. So he has to go find another fit. And he does this a couple times in the book here where he's finding fits and everything. Yeah, it ends up like the Plague Doctor spawns are coming after him again. They try to follow him. He turns it around on them, but again, here come the Seraphim to battle once again. It's a lot of battling in this one, but it's not so much the Violator beating up a lot of people. It's a lot more of the Seraphim and the Spawn battling each other, and him just kind of going, well, I get to pick this side, or I'm going to pick on this side. He's pretty much just getting attacked on both sides. One, because, Lucifer, he hates Lucifer, and Lucifer hates him, so he's always battling him. And the Seraphim, because he's quote unquote evil, but he does show another glimpse of humanity, I guess, if you want to put it that way, where he saves Gloriana, and she's like, "Why did you save me?" And he's like, "Just for you to leave me be." And that's the way the book ends. A little sad there. But again, I love the origin and the like through time and all the little trials he goes through and everything. It's I'm really enjoying this. I'm gonna give this give me Eggs Benedict. That seems like it's a very appropriate
For the time, yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
Eggs Benedict, trade treacherous, the whole nine yards. Yeah, it was really good. Like I said, this has to be like my favorite series out of the Spawn Universe title, other than
Red
Rat
City.
City.
I really
Yeah.
like Red City, yeah. All right. My next book is Psylocke 1. This book was really good. It starts out with the Uncanny team, I think. Like the Juggernaut Cyclops team. That's the Uncanny team, right?
No, that's the regular X-Men, I
Regular
think.
X-Men team?
Yeah.
Regular X-Men team.
Yeah, Uncanny is Rogue, Gambit,
Oh,
Wolverine,
you're
and
right, you're right, right,
Nightcrawler.
right.
Yeah.
So Psylocke is shown saving this girl. And that's why she was late to the meeting. So Cyclops is like, nope, you need to take a vacation. She's like, what? And she's like, he's like, when's the last time you slept? She's like, I don't need to sleep, whatever. Like, we lost Krakoa, blah blah blah. We need to go out and do this stuff. So Quanon goes out and instead of doing that, she goes out to oh, who is it? Hold on, I'll find it. John Graycrow goes out to see him. They, have an evening. He almost gets killed in the middle of the night by her. She then reminds him that, the hand groomed her to be an assassin. Then she kind of goes and hangs out in Anchorage, and a non-binary hacker, who she saved, calls her and apparently keeps like helping her out and doing like cool things for her. So she kind of sets her up with a like a mission at like a masquerade ball. So she goes to this masquerade ball and it's an AIM masquerade ball where they are not only selling children, mutant children, but they're selling mutant growth hormone. So they're doing that as well. And she bids on all of it. And then she, instead of actually paying them, she starts a big fight. And there's a whole ton of awesome fight scenes. The art in this book is absolutely fantastic. Yeah, like I just can't tell you how fantastic this book is. Like, just looking at the art is just super killer.
Is it the
And
same artist that did the cover, or is this a different artist?
you know what? I don't know. Hold on. Let me see. Jesus. No. So the cover artist is Muhammad Asrar and Matt Wilson. The interior artist is Vincenzo Corrado. And it's super good, man. Like it's just real, real good. Like it's fun, it's quick, it's got a lot of action. It's ninja-esque. It's all the things you want out of a Psylocke book. You want it to be ninja-y? It's ninja-y. It's really good. I really like it. I'm gonna give it oh man. I'm gonna give it. Okay. I'm gonna give it a oh man, what the hell is that called? I'm gonna give it a falafel. Just cause,
Oh
because it's that weird and funny.
my. Nice.
But it was very good. But I want to, but it also has a side of bacon because it does have a lot of meat to it. So, I'm gonna give it that. It was super, super fun. Like I said, lots of danger, lots of excitement, lots of ninja stuff. It's a very dark book. And you know, I've always loved Psylocke as a character, both Betsy and Quinnon. And I'm kind of excited for it. So check it out.
All right, we got Uncanny X-Men number 5. Sorry. Cat just fell off my lap. Basically it starts with Rogue having like I guess English lessons, because they're teaching her how to speak proper English, not the southern dialect. Because she said sugar with the A, and then she corrected herself by saying sugar, the ER. And as she was doing that, she starts laying on the ground, and or she's like, she started saying something along the line of, I can't get up, I can't get up. And you see her on the ground, all bloodied and beaten up. I've never seen Rogue like this ever. Look like this, like where she's beaten up to that point, like her wrist is completely detached from her arm. And that's where you see when she wakes up and she's trying to move. That's when Sarah gets up, gets going and starts like kind of torturing her, saying she's going to rip the hair right off of her scalp. While this is happening, the rest of the X-Men are gathered together and they're fighting all these phantoms all over the place. Wolverine's basically healed up except his eyes. He has the bandage over his eyeball, so he's just fighting blind, which is kind of awesome. Gambit and Jubilee and Nightcrawler are all battling against all these phantoms that you don't see the shape. You just see them like these gray images. And as they're fighting, Rogue sees a mutant by the name of Harvey. I don't recognize Harvey. This might be somewhere, this might be a deep cut into Krakoa or even before Krakoa. I don't know that generation of mutants. But he talks to her as in through a dream here and saying, "I must be dead." And he's like, "Yes, you are. But I have a message for her." And as he talks to her, he's like, "Oh, by the way, you absorb some of my abilities, so I'll let you know what these abilities do." And he's like, "I was not always as weak as you thought I was." Because I think he, by the looks of him, he looked like he possibly had leukemia. Because he's bald, he's very frail looking. And as he's describing his abilities of, I guess he had some precognition, and a couple other things that were kind of combined. It's kind of impressive, like nothing like super earth-shattering, but still impressive techniques. The X-Men are continuing to fight against these phantom, these cultists. And Harvey also, we switch back to Harvey saying, "Oh, by the way, there's one other ability that you can kick in right now." And Rogue is like, "Well, what's that?" She's like, "I can't fight her with just one hand." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, that's one of my abilities is instantaneous healing and recovery." He's like, "My body was fighting the leukemia, it just lost its battle." He's like, "But you're healthy." And next thing you know, you see her wrist get attached to her body again, and she's fully healed. And she takes on Sarah again. And this time she doesn't let up. She literally beats the crap out of Sarah. And as Sarah is like kneeling there, not still not want being defiant, but she's not fighting per se. Rogue touches her, and we see the rest of the story with Charles and Sarah from the flashback before about her wanting children, and she wanted Charles to be the father and thinking he would be a perfect father. But Rogue is like, "But you didn't. You had your son a year later, like a year and a half later, after you and Charles were done." So she's like, but Sarah's like, "He could have, Charles would have accepted him. He would have been, he could have been his son if it wasn't for you mutants." But Rogue eventually talks her down and says, "Look, you were a good mother. There was nothing you could have done to save your son. And if you want help, we can help you." Definitely taking the Charles Xavier route of trying to help someone, even though they may not want the help. And Sarah eventually gives in. And as that happens, the X-Men are victorious, beating the the specters and occultists. And Rogue brings Sarah back to, I think, like where the X-Men were, like getting treatment and everything, and said, you do your best to treat her like a human and you treat her well, because if I hear you mistreat her, I will come back and it will not be pretty. So that's the end of this book. This was really good. I had my doubts like the first couple issues here, but this really rounded out as a nice little arc. I'm hoping the next arc on number six will be a better storyline, or something maybe less about Charles having a girlfriend and the girlfriend being jealous and everything of mutants. So we'll see. But I like this. This is what I will give this, a scrambled eggs with a couple pieces of bacon. Above average. The art, of course, was good. I just want to see where the next storyline starts for Uncanny. So,
Cool. Sounds good.
yep.
All right. My final book, G.I. Joe 1. The book that had like a billion freaking covers this week. Like a billion.
I saw
So,
several of
if you are reading Duke, Destro, Scarlet, or Cobra Commander, you should be reading this book. Because it's the culmination of all of those books put into the team book, like in the Energon universe, which is this book. So this book is really like all of those guys being put together into a team. So it starts off with all of them like jumping out of an airplane with jetpacks, which I then thought for the first time in my life ever, how did they not A, catch their pants on fire? And B, melt their shoes and or burn their legs off. Never thought about that until today. You know, just like, huh, no, whatever.
Cartoon logic.
Right. So, you know, they're shooting down drones. And they introduce all the team members. So you got Rock and Roll, Stalker, Cover Girl, Clutch, Baroness, and Duke. And you know, at some point they talk about General Hawk, and you know they go through all this stuff, and then they cut to Springfield, USA, not any specific state, but just Springfield, USA. And Destro is working on some stuff with his bats, and his Energon, and he's working with Cobra Commander, and this is the they use Energon to make a blaster that is the origin of the blue lasers. Oh my God, that is awesome. Right? I was like, oh, they gave the origin of the blue lasers. This is great. So then they kind of like, you know, cut to another thing where, you know, like they're like Duke's getting the team together. Hawk and Duke are getting the team together for a mission, and they're all kind of sitting there and they're like, Cover Girl, why did you change your hair color to blonde? I really liked you as Auburn. She's like, that's exactly why I changed it. And they're talking about how this Autobot or this Cybertronian piece fell out of the sky, and Mars Industries is now holding it. And also, Destro and Cobra are also trying to get in touch with it too. So they're both trying to go after the same thing. So while Joes are trying to babysit it, Baroness and Stalker have like a fight. And she starts yelling at him. By the way, if you use Google Translate and set it to Croatian, it'll translate it for you because I found that out today.
Nice.
I guessed at Croatian and I was right. So,
Nice.
and it's funny because like he calls her like he's like, I will send you back to your mother. Like it's really, really funny. And she's like, how dare you? So they go out, like Cobra shows up with a helicopter. They go outside with guns to fight it, but they're actually hitting them with blasters. They're like, what is this? What kind of weapon is this? Are those lasers? And they're like, you gotta be kidding me. So they have all kinds of fight, and at one point Rock and Roll literally jumps into laser blasts, and that's how it ends. This book was an awesome team book. It's a great everybody's coming together type thing. I loved it. I thought it was a great culmination of all those other books. Josh Williamson is crushing it. So I am giving this book oh man. I'm giving this like a Western omelet and a meat lover's omelet together into the mother of all omelets. Like it's a monster omelet. Like that's what I'm giving this.
That's funny.
I love the art. It's very similar to the stuff you saw in Duke. I love the personalities they gave everybody. They're very appropriate for the characters. As someone who grew up with G.I. Joe in the 80s and 90s, like that it's very reminiscent of like the movie vibe attitudes. And by movies, I mean Cobra la 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 style.
Right.
And I just like the book a lot. Like I've really loved everything he's done with everything he's touched on the Energon side. And I think it's good. Like it's just a lot of fun. So if you guys are digging any of those books, go check it out. There's like a million freaking covers, and I'm sure we can get you something. So go check it out.
So almost as many as Absolute Batman too.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. In fact, I even ordered a couple extra in Cranberry just in case. John yelled at me, but I'm pretty sure he's going to sell out of them. So if you need some, go up to Cranberry. They got you. We also ordered a couple extra Absolute Batman 2s. So if you need a couple of those, go up there and get them
Yes.
too. So it's a good time. Check those out. It'll be good. All right. Other than that, that's about it. Remember, guys, we only have one more show this calendar year. So next week we're going to be doing our instead of book reviews, we're going to be doing our end of the year reviews. So we're going to talk about our we have three categories, and we're going to if you guys want to put any on our Facebook, or message us directly through our
Yeah.
social medias as well, you can do that too to give us your lists. So
I
our
just thought of
lists are
another
going to
one we
be
probably should do that would probably be
sure.
pretty worst book ever, the worst book of the year.
Okay, so we got worst book of the year.
Yes.
We have best number one issue, best standalone issue, which means it could be an issue 3, it could be an issue 5, it can be an issue 58,
Could
and
be an
then
annual.
yeah, it could be an annual, it could be a one shot, and then best story arc of the year. So, give us your feedback, let us know. It can be any publisher. If you have a recommendation that you want to kick at us, that we maybe not even be thinking about that came out in this calendar year. It had to release between January and now. You can send it to us if you have a PDF of it, or you just want to send it to us. As long as you send it to us by, I would say, Tuesday. That would give us enough time to read it and put it into an actual recommendation option. We will. If some of those we don't get to, we may put an honorable mention, or we may actually read your list live on the show.
I
So
think
let
that's
us
probably wouldn't be a
know.
bad idea.
Yeah, so we'll do that. So you can let us know. You can email us. You can Send it to us. If you would just want to email me at my company email, it's just John, JonEngel at ndcomics.com. And I will just keep your list like that. You can also hit us up at ndctodcast at gmail.com. And I get that same email. Or you can just hit us up at any of our social medias and send it in the messenger. We'll read it off. It'll be fine. It's really cool. We want to hear from you. So, but that's about it. So in 30 minutes, I'm going to be doing a of my first whatnot sale, and I think Justin's going to be moderating it, I think. So
Yes.
hopefully
At least for a little bit.
at least for a little bit. Yeah.
Yes.
Cool.
Because it is my
So
wife's
if
birthday, so you know.
oh, happy birthday, cupcake.
Yeah.
So, all right. Thanks a lot, guys, and we will catch everybody next week for the last show, and send us those lists.